Gregory bravely sacrificed himself to become the ship's rudder.
I think that's false.
Oh, Master Splinter's super toads mad.
But yes! Yeah. Yeah!
Two broomsticks at the same time.
Expecto Patronum! You'll never amount to anything!
Completely false.
If it was Andy's Girthy Candy, there's no way they'd ever change that name.
So, wait, is it goblins? Did I get it wrong?
Oh, this one is true!
I am chocolate.
And the theme of today's podcast is...
Wait, are we still in the intro?
Hello and welcome back, listeners, to the Allegedly Podcast, where me and my co-host get a mystery topic coupled with some mystery facts, and it's our job to figure out which facts are real and which facts are fake. My name is Alex, and with us always is Joe.
Let's go back in time. Back in.
Yeah, dude. He's still touring.
I know. Well, like, I was thinking of it because I wanted to congratulate you and Arizona for time traveling this last week.
Yeah, feels good, right?
Bringing back a Civil War abortion law. That was cool.
Yeah, 1864, my guy.
Look at you guys, man. You're going to go see Doc Brown on a train.
Dude. Yeah, he must have. He saw that get signed into law, and he's like, "Great Scott! Yeah. I go to the future to warn them.
Quick, I need ZZ Top to be my band."
Did they play in Back to the Future 3?
Yeah, they're the band.
Oh yeah, that's right. The band the festival thing when he throws the pie tin.
Yeah.
God damn it, that movie is a classic. Shoot. All right, well, you ready for here's the podcast topic and see if we're going back in time.
Ooh, yeah. I just wanted to play my guitar.
All right, here we go. So today's podcast topic is etiquette. Pass the butter, please. Etiquette.
Oh, pinkies up.
Oh, cheerio. All right, Joe, quick question. Where did you learn all your etiquette?
On the mean streets of New York City.
That's a lie. You're lying to me.
It was when I was a wee lad in Ireland.
Why do you keep lying to me?
Because I don't have any etiquette.
Yeah. I learned it from watching you.
I don't like to say this publicly, but I'm etiquette deficient.
Yeah, dude, I'm like unrooting this this trauma of yours. Like,
I never learned etiquette.
If I see a long piece of grass, I put it right in my mouth.
I never learned to read.
So, I mean, of course, parents and shit like that. Dude, there's so many rules, like proper rules from like formal shit that is so stupid. Sorry, hot take. I don't need 6 forks to enjoy.
Yeah, no, you can just keep reusing the same fork.
Yeah, but that's barbaric. I mean, forks, that took us decades to cast off the taboo nature of forks.
I think rich people just went like, well, they're finally legal. We can get 6 of these fucking things now.
I think rich people were just like, we need something that sets us apart from the common people. Yeah. They use their hands. We use forks. Well,
it just shows how much time rich people have on their hands. That they have so much time that they have to make rules to eat.
Oh, they do. And it's so boring.
Where the rest of us, you know, we just eat.
Right. Well, it's so boring, you know? Like, oh, right. I'm rich. I don't have to struggle.
You know, it's always shocking to me. Like, we play these up as, like, you know, traditions and stuff like that as if they have, you know, these higher meanings. But it's like, this is, like, 2 steps away from just, like, 4 kids in a treehouse. You know, like, you leave 4 kids alone in a treehouse, and they will have a whole constitution and a bill of rights by the end of the fucking afternoon.
They really will. I can confirm. I know you and I did that.
Yeah. Like, it's all of a sudden, like, it's like, you get in charge, and you're just like, fuck, I get to make all the rules.
That's what a tree fort was, right? Like, it was kind of your own little emancipated area.
Mm-hmm.
And you had rules. And, like, adults would have to follow those rules, too.
Yeah.
Like, you had passwords to get in, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had corners of the play area that were specific uses for those corners. Like, that's the fart corner, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, jail. That's what it goes. Billy farted in the clubhouse, and you gotta go to jail.
Yeah, he didn't use the fart corner. Now he has to go to the jail corner.
It's guarded. It's guarded by Spot.
Yeah, your puppy.
Yeah,
that you had to like one hand crawl up to the top of the treehouse with. Just pray you didn't drop him. Ah, shit. All right, dude. Well, let's get to the first topic and just see how well-educated we are on etiquette.
Mm.
Ooh. All right. Fact number one. Traditionally, the proper way to eat asparagus is A, with your fingers, B, with a fork, or C, directly off the plate with your mouth. This is a trick question. Okay, wait. Do you count it with your fingers if you set it up like it's a little tree and then eat it? Like it's on the plate still, but you're just propping it up with your fingers and you're like, nom, nom, nom.
Oh, and then you just pretend you're like a giant monster.
Yeah, does that count eating with your fingers?
See, I think the proper way is to go full Ace Ventura.
Do I jump to get my teeth? Dude, his breath must have been so bad after that scene.
Oh, for real, yeah.
So, I think
has to fingers. Be with yours.
Yeah, fingers, right?
You know.
Like, a fork. I eat a lot of asparagus, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of love asparagus. It's so easy, tastes good.
Right, yeah, it's good, man.
And,
it makes your pee stink.
That, honestly, I know I'm starting to sound fucked up, but that kind of is fun.
It's always amazing how quick it happens.
Right.
It's like you never think it's taken enough time.
No, yeah. And then it's just like you forget, though. Like it's been enough time to kind of forget. And then you're just like, oh, God, what's wrong with me? Oh, I ate asparagus.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
You're on the phone with the doctor and you're like, oh, right, I ate asparagus. Okay. I'm going to say fingers, though, because on the fork slides off. Unless there's an asparagus fork. Do you think there's an asparagus fork?
I imagine there's a special asparagus fork. But...
Well, I mean, if you're, like, chopping the stalks and just keep leaving the heads, those are easy. You just get those with the fork and eat them. If you have the full stalks on there, nah, impossible. But,
like, even sometimes, you know, if you... You know, even if you can get the fork to not slide off... It's unbalanced then sometimes.
Yeah.
Or you got two long sides sticking off of each end of the fork. So I think the finger's just, you know, a lot easier.
Yeah. And it's just more fun that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a grown ass man and I do it that way. So all right. You wanna go A? Does that sound fucking viable?
It sounds delicious.
It sounds absolutely edible.
There's one thing I like. It's a traditional finger food.
Chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets.
Asparagus and chicken nuggets.
My little dino nuggets. Yes, yes, dino. Rah, rah, rah. Look at me. I'm the bigger dino. Rah, rah, rah. Oh, fuck. Okay. Then for fact number one. Traditionally, the proper way to eat asparagus, we're going to go A with your fingers. 3, 2, 1. It is A with your fingers, and more recently, B with a fork. So from the Lancaster Examiner, February 20th, this was in a fucking newspaper, dude.
What?
So 1889, according to the most fashionable Friarich method. They have a method for this. This is how fucking bored people were.
Yeah.
Like, look, there was a transition. It's I'm
using your fingers. It's not a method.
I'm going to fucking go on a wire here. Okay, so leading up to prior about the, you know, the 1700s when we landed, or the 1600s, whenever we landed here to build civilization and all that, once we became established, we put roots down, right? I think survival became an easier concept than... You know, I mean, people were dying and it was still a struggle, but like people had to fill the gap between, oh my God, I need to survive and like living life, right?
Right.
Because when you didn't have to worry about like where you're going to get your next meal, you could like more or less go somewhere for it and somebody's job was to collect food items.
Sure, yeah.
Then it was like less worrisome. And this is how they filled this fucking time. They're like, the Freyrich method, after Princeton did a survey.
Also, it's the ultimate rich people thing to think you made a method by using your hands to eat.
Dude, I'm going to fucking...
It's like I've discovered hands. All right, Columbus.
Yes, dude. I do think... It's like that movie Amadeus, when they're all trying to figure out whether it should be a German or Italian opera.
Right.
Those are the same guys that are like, you eat with a fork.
Have you never heard of the Freyrich method?
The Freyrich method? Oh. Preposterous. So it says here, okay, so let's dive into the Freyrich method. Neither fork nor knife is used in eating of this vegetable. The asparagus is first deposited upon your plate, put on your plate. Then picking up a piece with your thumb and forefinger. Middle finger, no, forefinger. Okay, very important to the Freyrich method.
Who the fuck's picking up with their middle? Okay.
Dude, fucking disgusting.
So far, right? You're just describing how I'm pretty sure everyone would instinctively pick up asparagus.
No. This is the Freyrich method. They had to develop this. Dude, shut the fuck up. This is the Freyrich method. Okay, listen. All right. It is necessary. It is necessary that you should lower your head slightly. If too low, you would be considered a glutton. You fucking pig. You lowered your head too
far. Okay, so there we have our answer. No, you can't stand this up as a tree.
No, you cannot stand. Because, yeah, then you're like, you look like you're eating a dick, is what they're worried about.
Yeah.
Obviously.
That's true. They didn't know about dinosaurs. So.
Obviously, this man likes his horse of a different color. So it says, if too high, yawn would appear stiff and ungraceful. After head is placed at a proper angle, the asparagus is slowly raised to the mouth, which should remain closed until the vegetable is within 2 inches of your lips.
You don't have your mouth gaping open.
Obviously, they've never heard of the Burns method. Holding your face... Holding your head at a 180-degree angle and mouth wide open, you deposit said food item by releasing forefinger and thumb.
I learned to eat by watching pelicans.
If a particularly long piece of asparagus, deposited it head first in and then choke it down as such. Perfect. Such a graceful way to eat.
Majestic. Much like the pelican.
So it says the mouth should be languidly open and only a small portion of the piece of asparagus should be allowed to enter. The asparagus should never be bitten, but be slightly compressed, as the head of each piece is only to be in. This compressor applied suffices in place of a bite. That part is being so tender. The asparagus should then be placed gently on the plate. Okay, so you only eat the head. The stalk remains intact.
Well, that's just a waste of asparagus.
So it really is. Well, rich people. So fast forward nearly a century to 1984. New York Times published Emily Post and the Art of Eating Asparagus.
Holy
so this
fuck, have people still not figured out how to eat asparagus?
Yeah. By reputation, this is a finger food, Mr. Post writes, but the ungraceful appearance of a bent stalk of asparagus falling limply into someone's mouth. Of course they revisit this whenever there is like a gay scare. Right. Well, like homosexual, like homophobia is at its peak. It's like, you don't want to look like you're sucking a dick.
Right. Well, first and foremost, you're cooking this all wrong. It needs to be a little al dente.
Yeah.
Have a little firmness in there. So it needs to be a rock hard dick.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're going to eat it, it's going to be rock hard.
Yeah.
It's improper to think that a real gentleman couldn't get his asparagus to be stiff. Right.
I don't know whose idea it is to just whip each open gaped mouth holes with a fucking limp dick.
So it says, okay, wait. God damn it. Okay, I got to get through this because this is fucking a ridiculous statement. Are you ready?
Yeah.
This is like, it is exuding homophobia. Okay. but the ungraceful appearance of a bent stalk of asparagus falling limply into someone's mouth and the fact that moisture is also likely to drip from the end cause most fastidious people to eat it, at least in part, with the fork. That is, the cut stalks with the fork to where they become harder and then pick up the ends with the finger if you choose. But don't squeeze the stalks or let the juice run down your fingers. Elizabeth Post has apparently never properly cooked asparagus. If she had, she would have known that when cooked correctly, there is no limp part. The entire stalk is crisp, crunchy, and firm. That it drips is another matter. In December, okay, so the guy is actually criticizing it.
Oh, okay.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so the guy,
a little bit of faith in humanity is coming.
Yeah, yeah. He's like this fucking. There's no way she knows how to cook proper asparagus. Right. Okay, it says in December 2023, the Daily Mail reported that one scene in the show The Crown had to be reshot because the actor who played King Charles started eating asparagus with a knife and a fork, noting that this was not authentic, that they would have certainly eaten it with their fingers. They reshot the scene on the advice of the show's etiquette advisor.
Hucking, what a gig.
I wish I could, like, convince people that I was an expert in stupid shit. Oh my god, dude. Just like,
I would just Wikipedia fucking facts and just get paid to be on a movie set.
Yeah. Like, I am your resident fecal advisor. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a scene of somebody pooping, you come to me. I will teach you all the different poop faces to really get into character.
My favorite is when you, like, see the title and it's like, you're like, it's like, oh, Animal Wrangler. But then there's, like, a really specific one and you're like, I just watched Temple of Doom. Didn't it wrangle fucking snakes?
Like, well, so like,
you don't train bugs.
Like, yeah, but like, here's the thing though. Like, on the other side of that, they kind of downplay it, right?
Right.
Like, there's like elephants on the set, and you're like, why didn't that elephant freak out and crush the crew? Oh, yeah, because their handler knew how to fucking deal with them. And they're just like, oh, that's just a zookeeper, it's the janitor. You're like, what? He's the only guy standing in between you and fucking stomped to death.
Meanwhile, they had three consultants on monkey brains.
Yeah, they have the etiquette. Well, the proper way to eat the monkey brains is obviously with your fingers. Clasp it between your forefinger and thumb and gently slide a piece of the brain out.
Roll it around like you're doing a Matthew McConaughey Lincoln commercial.
Stare at it intently. Reflect on the fact that your brain doesn't look all that different. And then take a slight bite.
I guess this is what we all look like on here.
Is that how you would advise people to eat the asparagus?
Yeah.
He's just sitting there and he's like, sometimes I look at these things and I think, are they just little trees or... am I able to eat this with a fork? I don't know. like, what the fuck? shit, well, we spent fucking 10 minutes making fun of basically etiquette advisor. Somebody's job. Somebody's, like, life. Fuck them.
Is this a real job? Or have I just accidentally arrived at this conclusion in my junction of life?
I like to get out and think sometimes about where I'm going based on where I've been.
And I always know where I've been because I can smell the pee. I've been eating so much asparagus.
I like the flavor. I like the smell. It brings me comfort to know that other people think it's gross. All right. Well, we got it right. Good us.
Fucking A.
Fact number two. The proper way to dispose of an olive pit in your mouth is to A, spit it directly into a spittoon. B, take it out of your mouth with one hand and covering your face with your other hand. Okay, so like you mask it and get it out with your fingers. C, not eat olives with pits in the first place, as removing anything from your mouth is unseemly.
I mean,
let's see, right? Like, that's pretty straightforward. I want it to be
who's
the Spittoon.
Serving unpitted olives?
Okay, Joe, you gotta be real with me.
What fucking... What
at some point, somebody out there was like, they convinced rich people that the pit does actually impact the flavor of olives. And so save the cost of pitting them, because rich people are dumb and are like, the proper way to true. Eat an olive is with the pit. It has all the flavor.
Like, I can imagine if this was, if we're talking like ancient Greece, then I imagine they just spit the pits on the floor.
Or just swallow the pit. Like, why are we assuming that they're not just like, well, the pit, I can't really chomp into it, right? I just swallow it. So, I would say not eat olives with pits in the first place. I think that's probably the right answer.
I would imagine. I'd imagine that's appropriate.
Or not refined, I would guess. It sounds like it would be a commentary on the chef, too. Right? Like, if you have to pull anything out of your mouth... Right? It's like the chef didn't properly prepare it.
I would, because, like, you know, olives is like an hors d'oeuvre. And so, like, you know, it's people standing around, like, oh, like, yes, and how's your handicap today? Like, what are they fucking?
They're spitting it at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, they're spitting it at the help. Ooh.
Ding. Oh,
they're like,
it's
kind of like
only if the fucking butler's holding it.
Dude, it's kind of like, remember when you go to the driving range and you try to hit the cart that's picking up the golf balls? That's what they did with the help and like spittoons.
Good shots.
Yes, you got it right into my mouth. Very
There's
good,
just a butler
sir.
In the corner wearing one of those fencing masks.
Just sitting there spitting.
Just taking shots.
Rich people, you pieces of shit. Right. Somebody did that. Well, remember, didn't they had all sorts of games. Remember the dregs game, the wine dregs game where they flicked it and all that shit? Dude, you're telling me they didn't make an Olive Pits game? Like, they'd do this shit in fucking The Great Gatsby, wouldn't they? Like, ah, good show, old sport.
Yeah. Come on, old sport. Let's go down to the black side of town and run people over with a car.
Yeah, that's exactly... It's what I do on my Sunday evenings.
A mouthful of olives, you say?
Pieces of shit, but yes, that's what would happen. But I'm going to go see, to be honest. I want it to be the Spittoon, though. But not because of the help, I guess. You know what? No, I don't want it to be the Spittoon anymore. I took it back. I looked at it through the lens of having fun, you know, being like, ha, spit it in the air. Ooh-hoo-hoo. Yeah, but people are pieces of shit, so I don't want it to be anymore. I think it's C.
I would imagine you just don't want rich people chipping teeth.
Well, they probably wear gloves, too, you know?
That's a good
gloves
point.
And hand wear and shit like that. And pull something out of your mouth just stains your gloves.
Right.
It's not very ladylike.
If you want any conversation, it'd be weird. Like, hold on. Anyways, what I was saying... Like, it's, hold on the back while I discreetly not do what I'm totally doing.
You help? So, all right. You want to go see?
See.
All right. Then for fact number two, the proper way to dispose of an olive pit in your mouth is to, and we're going to say C, not eat olives with pits in the first place, as removing anything from your mouth is unseemly. 3, 2, 1, bam. Oh, it's B.
Oh.
So you're supposed to take it out of your mouth with one hand while covering your face with the other hand. This is from Food and Wine magazine. Whoa. Okay, so essentially, you want to disguise the act.
Are we just poor people who, like, apparently we don't get pits in our olives? Like, we're not rich enough to have pits?
Yeah, maybe there is some truth to this that I just never knew. Like, watch, it's like you eat a pitted olive.
I've just never had a charcuterie platter come with fucking pits with my olives. Like, I'm just saying.
Dude, what if you did? You ate an olive with a pit in it, and you're like, fuck, that's like pizza.
Yeah, oh. The snozzberries taste like snozzberries. It's all in the pit. Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're living a lie.
Then, yeah, dude. Without the pit, it just, you're like, oh, it tastes like an olive.
Oh. I can't go back now.
So essentially, you want to disguise the act, either with a cupped hand, tightly pursed lips, or assistance of a napkin. While there was some debate on how exactly to accomplish this, there was no debate that olives are to be eaten with fingers. In the South Bend Tribune paper in January 12, 1889, one particularly excitable person took issue with this. Ooh. It says... Sticklers for table etiquette say olives are eaten with the fingers instead of a fork because the great Sultan of Turkey eats them that way. But then the great Sultan eats everything on his table with his fingers. If Americans are to imitate him in eating of olives with the fingers instead of fork, why not go farther? Dude, this guy must be great at parties. This guy. Yeah,
this guy's a real.
This
real
guy. Fun. This is like Alex Jones, 1889. Like, fucking. Says, stick your thumb in the ice cream and suck it. Or, what? They had ice cream in 1889?
Yeah, but that's not how sucking works.
I think
ice cream would have to be slightly melted for the thumb to work.
Yeah, I guess. So stick your thumb in ice cream and suck it. Your forefinger in the grape jelly and draw its translucent sweetness across your smacking lips. Dude, what the fuck is this guy... This guy's on drugs,
first and foremost,
right?
We all know that the proper way to eat olives is to put one on each finger and then eat it off.
Well, you don't have the pits if you do that.
Oh, fuck. I forgot I'm poor.
See, yeah, you're poor. That was the poor way to eat it.
God damn it.
Yeah, you just come at him and you're like... Blah, 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 blah. Like, you got little eyeballs on your fingers.
Yeah.
It says here... into a pickled... Okay, thrust your middle finger into a pickled peach and enjoy its spiced sharpness by long and vigorous sucks. Dip your ring finger... Dude, this guy's just talking about
peach.
Sucking fingers. I just got tricked.
For hours.
The fucking writer just fucking tricked me to read almost a full paragraph of just
this
some
guy,
dude describing sucking his fingers.
Oh, stick your
He's like,
toe in a pecan pie.
That's exactly what I...
Stick your foot in a cream pie and suck it off the big
stick?
Toe. Stick your middle finger in some jelly.
That's exactly. She just fucking tripped. He doesn't stop. There's like five comparisons in here. I get
Let's
it. You can just do
cool
it one.
And make a little bikini.
So listen, he keeps going. Dip your ring finger in the maple molasses, and with your head thrown back and your mouth open, let the virgin sweetness of the maple tree trickle down your throat. Sop
like
your
the-
bread in the gravy tureen. In short, do away with all use of knife, fork, and spoon.
Oh my god, what a fucking crybaby.
Yeah, the writer puts, that's a slippery slope argument if I ever heard one. Wink, wink.
I don't like the use of the word virgin in there.
Yeah. No, it's not a virgin anymore. Not with what he did to it.
No. He is taking the molasses innocence.
He was... Yeah, it was just normal olive oil by the time he was done with it. Yet this dude was 2 seconds. Like, if he kept going, he would have said fuck the pie. Like, that's
right.
What he would have said.
God, dude.
Well, we got it wrong, Joe. I'm sorry. Fucking what a sourpuss, dude.
That was a dude
bitching just a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, 1889, he was just... They were bored. Like, yeah, they still had to survive, but, like, a lot of those survival issues were starting to be, like, taken over by, like, technology that was emerging. They had ice cream, so, you know, there's that. Anyways, so we got it wrong. Fuck that guy. All right.
I kind of want some ice cream now, though.
Dude, I kind of want some fucking virgin maple syrup, dude.
Oh, my God.
Bring that over here.
I kind of want some dirty streetwalking olive oil.
Streetwalking olive oil.
I want the pits in my olive oil.
Dude. Yeah, dude. It's served in like a fishnet mesh. Like, ooh.
It comes with a red backlight.
Yep.
You're like, you know how I like it.
Ooh.
Get that olive oil in here.
From all the way from Amsterdam.
This is still illegal in Texas. I can only do this in Nevada.
Unless you ask for its parents' permission first.
Oh, fuck. All right, here we go.
Fact number 3. When you are at a dinner party and the food is not to your liking, the proper thing to do is A, provide a polite excuse, even if it's a lie. B, pretend to eat the food. C, leave your plate untouched and glower at the host.
I'm gonna go A.
Really? Like, you think, I would say just suck it down, you know?
Right. I mean, that's what I would do, but then again, we've established that I eat unpitted olives.
So. I'm sorry, sir. I only like pitted olives. Unpitted olives are good, but they give me gas.
Right. I'd imagine this is a case of, like, you don't want to insult the chef or the host, right?
Yeah.
And so instead of just not eating,
leave your plate untouched and glower at the host.
Yeah.
He put broccoli on my plate.
You want me to eat my asparagus with my fingers? What next? I'm gonna snort my wine. I'm gonna eat this ham with my succulent ring finger. I'm gonna
stick my hand
off the ham and spin it on my dick.
Yeah, you want me to fucking just shove my whole fist in the fucking jelly? Is that what you want?
Oh. You want me to pour this down my pants?
This sounds like a whitest kids you know fucking skit, doesn't it?
Oh, I filled my shoes with mashed potatoes.
Oh, this is etiquette.
Okay, so you're feeling A, just polite excuse, like, oh, you know, I got this toothache and it's
yeah, or like,
me.
I'm actually allergic to this or something.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, I could see that. That's plausible. Like, you don't, like, but then, like, every excuse, I'm just like, oh, that you don't like it. Like, at some point, if I knew that was the proper etiquette, I would just be like, you're like, oh, man, like, I would eat this, but I already ate. And I'm like, really? It took you 8 hours to get here in carriage, and you already ate. You knew I was going to make dinner.
You ate before coming to a dinner party? Oh, that's honestly a good point, though. Like, what excuse? Like, oh, sorry, got the shits. What are you going to say?
I'm sorry, I have Niagara Falls in the back drawer, if you know what I mean.
You know what I'm saying? I would munch down on all this, trust you me, but, oh, boy, bubble guts.
Bubble guts. I don't know. I know it's probably not C.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of weird just to be like, eh.
What? Yeah. Also, like, something on your mind?
No. I don't like broccoli. Mm. I already had veal today.
Right.
Mom said we were getting hamburgers.
Right.
I wanted Carl's Jr.
Hey, I had Carl's Jr. today.
Hey.
Look at that. Look at us. We did it.
Simpatico.
Oh, shit. Okay, so what are we going? You want to go A? You just roll the dice? Just in case.
I don't know. Like, you were kind of leaning B, right?
Yeah, I feel like you were just... There's an idea of you just eat it anyways.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like... The most polite thing you can do is just fucking, you know, white knuckle the fork and just eat it.
Right. Unless it was really just off-putting.
Well, you remember that story about that pianist that, like, almost killed his entire family?
Yeah, with poison mushrooms.
Yeah, like, they were going to muscle that down. That could, like, fucking, like, they were ready to eat it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I've kind of softened on my position because... It would be like all of a sudden, like, God, this guy always just makes fucking excuses every time he comes over.
It's weird. He only has diarrhea when he has dinner at my house.
It's almost like he prepares to have diarrhea.
He doesn't have diarrhea when he's over at the Johnson's house. It's very weird.
Never seen him go to the bathroom.
I'm pretty sure he complains constantly about being constipated.
Yeah. He's just scouring.
He's just looking at his pitted olives. His unpitted olives. He's really upset about that.
Guys, I just asked, he asked for an olive fork, and I was like, I don't even know what that is.
I gave him a fork to eat his asparagus. I thought he would like that.
Was I not supposed to do that?
Did I mess up as the host?
I gave him rock hard asparagus. I thought he'd like it.
He said he wanted to eat it like a pelican. So I said, go for it. Made him rock hard asparagus.
But he's like, I can't. I need it flaccid.
Who eats flaccid wet asparagus?
So gross. All the juices ran down his chin.
It's just flopping around, like slapping him in the face sometimes.
It looks painful. Honestly.
Look, it got in his eye.
Never seen him happier.
He's just slapping his face with the asparagus.
He just sits there, mouth agape, dropping one spear after the other.
I don't even think he's swallowing. He just leaves his throat open.
Yeah.
Just going straight to his stomach.
No wonder he has intestinal issues. He really needs to chew.
Yeah, that's a lot of fiber to eat.
Oh, just straight down the gullet.
Hey, he must have some gas. That could be the problem.
That could be the problem. Maybe it's a real excuse.
Maybe he needs some virgin maple syrup. He needs some virgin food in his life. None of this dirty food.
It's so weird. He just swallows these asparagus while dipping two fingers into the gravy boat.
Mouth agape. I don't know.
So weird.
Must be a Turkish thing. Okay, so you're softening on B then?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most polite thing to do.
All right, let's roll the dice. So for fact number three then, we're going to go B. So when you are eating at a dinner party and the food is not to your liking, the proper thing to do is B, pretend to eat the food. 3, 2, 1, bam. Oh, wait. It's both A and B.
Ooh. Oh, look at that.
So, okay, lie to them. Is not exactly how it's phrased, but that's essentially what the modern experts say you should do. If you find yourself at a table with something that makes you want to barf, the emphasis is on politeness and gentleness and finding something to compliment even if you didn't like it. Try to decline the food without saying it's gross, but rather just tell them that you are full or that you are too focused on the delicious side dishes. Then lavish your insecure host with more compliments. Several newspapers say that if you don't like it, eat it anyways, or at the very least pretend to eat it. From the St. Louis Globe Democrat, July 9th, 1899. Quote, eat what is set before you or pretend to eat it. Never accept the last gasp of conscientious regard for the truth. Intimate to the maker of the feast that you dislike any dish prepared for her guests. Obviously, the woman is making the food, so, bitches be tripping, right? That's what he's saying. And then the question is, why? Because what you don't like, or what you like and don't like, is of no consequence to society as a at large whatsoever. No one gives a shit that you don't like raw oysters. No one cares that you think cilantro tastes like bugs. In fact, the article says that's never been a fact more infinitesimal, so suck it up. Buttercup and eat that shit. If you absolutely cannot eat something, there is only one thing left to do. Charm the pants off your host like your life depends on it. Quote, if the portion be laid upon your plate and you cannot summon the fortitude to swallow a mouthful, then whether you toy with it or let it alone, talk as for your life to divert attention from your lack of conformity to the established customs.
you start giving me oysters, I'll sit there and glower. I don't care.
You would not survive in high society in 1899.
You cook this food.
I didn't know this.
I'm
sorry. She put a gift.
Your chef seems to be out of an oven.
The writer put a gift from Christmas Vacation. I guess I never noticed it, but she like goes to eat the food and like the wife and like she like flicks it off her fork and like takes just an empty fork, pretends like she's eating the food.
After the turkey collapses.
I don't remember that. And I'm like, that's hilarious. So that's what you do.
Yeah.
You trick them. You do the thing where you're like if you don't like asparagus, where you like hold your head up to the side and go, and then just drop it behind you. Numbers. So good.
Oh my God. No, the dog's not bothering me. It's fine.
Yeah. Just like, man, I have had like 30 oysters. I can't do it anymore. They're like, man, he really likes oysters.
Man,
we should bring more to it. You have to come up with elaborate schemes. Like you come up with like an oyster pouch in your shirt just to store all your fucking uneaten oysters. Like, that was so good. Blah.
I say we all play a rousing game of heads up, seven up.
Yo. What was that giant crashing noise? I don't know.
Let's play ghost stories and I'll turn out the lights.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Well, we got it right. Go us. We are on track to be the most polite right now.
That's pretty good.
It's good, right? All right, here we go. Fact number four. In 1902, a driver who wanted to flirt with a lady walking along the side of the road should A, honk the horn and whistle at her, of course, B, tip his hat out the window and make eye contact as he passes, or C, salute her military style. God, every single one of these is a neckbeard thing. Like, every single one. The only thing, like, m'lady has to be in there somewhere.
Right. But, like, people throughout history have had weird things with hats. And so taking your hat off and, like, making eye contact, like, hey, look, I took my hat off, that's a big deal.
There's nothing more unnerving than somebody giving you a wholehearted compliment with...
While driving?
Unbroken eye contact.
Unbroken eye contact driving down the road.
It's like if you and I were sitting in a room. Right, and I'm looking directly into your eyes, and there's just something in you that says, "Don't look away. This is like a moment we need to have."
Yeah,
I'm like, Joe, you are an excellent friend, and I really appreciate all you do.
Right, I'm gonna be like, this man's on drugs.
Yeah, you're checking my pupils; they're like super dilated. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm like seeing through you. Like that's what's happening.
Yeah,
it's weird, right? So, now you're driving.
You're making unbroken eye contact out of me, and the next words out of your mouth aren't, the building's on fire. There's something fucking weird with you, man.
I just sit you down, and I look you in the eye, and I'm just like, the olives you just ate had no pits in them.
Did you just eat that olive with a fork?
Look you directly in the eye, and I'm just like, can you stop putting the fingers into the gravy boat?
The way your chin glistens after eating asparagus is amazing.
I think it is B, tip your hat out the window, make eye contact as he passes.
Right, and then, I mean...
Wait, it has to be as she passes.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it's just the brashness of just like, they're all fair game. Take up their day to compliment them.
I like how proper driving etiquette isn't taking proper driving into account. Yeah. You know, it's just like, salute them like a... salute her military style as you're driving at 30 miles per hour in a school zone.
Pedestrians should get out of your way.
Mm-hmm. They should be hearing you whistling and honking at the hot lady.
Don't they know you're complimenting a lady on her bottom?
Have you ever almost wrecked while staring at a hot chick while you were driving?
No.
Neither have I. That's stupid. I've never,
like,
that's so dumb.
To be fair, I've never met anyone that attractive. Like, call me shallow, but I've never been like, oh my god, that lady's so hot. I need to get into a traffic violation.
So you've yet to meet a chick hot enough for you to take your hat off and have unbroken eye contact with that person as you drive by.
I've never met the Goblin Queen, okay?
You've never been to Comic-Con then. Wait, you have. You've been to
Emerald City Comic-Con. But the Goblin Queen wasn't there.
Well, you just didn't look hard enough.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I would have seen that much underboob.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we're not making eye contact in that moment.
No, but... Trust me, I'm taking my hat off.
M'lady. Let me get the door for you, m'lady. Right this way. Yeah, is that what you're doing? You fucking drive your car?
I'm just going Tex Avery cartoon. Just ow.
I thought you were being Tim Allen in a car for a second. Like,
No, I was going full DMX.
Oh, that's hardcore.
Yeah.
Or Dave Chappelle, right? Like, rah, 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 rah.
I'm selling weed.
As you drive your car in the 1900s, like, unbroken eye contact, you're like, m'lady.
M'lady.
Dude, I don't know. Each one of these is a sad and pathetic attempt to impress somebody.
I do like the idea of the old-timey horn. Like, oh, oh.
That, yeah. Okay. I would take that as an answer. Because then you're just honking and going. You could still have pretty much two hands on the wheel.
Yeah.
I don't know what... Salute her military style? What is that? Like, just, you know...
That seems...
Put your hand
really
on your head and just be like...
Car, honestly.
What?
That seems hard to do while you're behind the wheel.
Yep, you click your boots, stand up straight, yeah. Fucking while you're driving your car. But she's just like, it's so impressive. I have never been more turned on in my life till that guy drove by, honked his horn, and whistled at me with unbroken eye contact.
Is that a beer can in his lap? So cute.
I mean, at some point, it had to become a trope, so it was new. At the time, I think having a car was probably just hot. You know what I mean? Like, period. Like,
that's what I was. And you could probably afford a really fancy hat.
Oh my god, the best hats!
Right.
This probably is back when being a cabbie was kind of like a cool job. You know. They're like, he drives a car.
He takes people places for money.
Yes, he probably drives the best to work people everywhere. So.
Frank can afford unpitted olives now.
Dang.
He has his own taxi.
That's next level. So, which one do you think?
I'm feeling B.
All right, let's go B. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I think all three are going to be on this list somewhere. Right. Because they're all equally sad.
Right.
So, okay, then let's go. Fact number four. In 1902, a driver who wanted to flirt with a lady walking along the side of the road should be tip his hat out the window and make eye contact as he passes. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, 3, 2, 1. It's C, salute her military style.
What? Man, okay, so this is the one I didn't think was even possible.
Yep. Okay, here we go. So from the Evansville Courier Press in September 14th, 1902. The new code of etiquette is followed in the most finely appointed cars by people of unquestionable taste. More is expected of the driver of an automobile in guiding his machine and protecting his guests that less in exacted of superficial manners. The use of the military salute on recognizing a lady in place of raising a hat, for example, has obviously the advantage of greater simplicity and safety. The innovation was first made in France, where such points of etiquette are universally observed. The article notes that the hats meant for driving are tight, presumably so they don't blow off so easily.
Oh,
so it would be
they didn't have roofs on the cars yet.
Yeah, so it would be a safety hazard to tip your hat to even beautiful ladies as you pass on the street. A different article emphasized the need to keep both hands on the wheel and that it's dangerous to get handsy with a hot lady passenger while you're driving. There's no way this was ever followed.
No.
The first car in the United States was sold in 1896, so that means 1896 was the year car blowjobs were invented.
Nice. That was a good year.
You salute them with the... I'm going to do that now. I'm going to see somebody and be like, "Salute to you, sir!" That guy's like...
I might
like,
be sitting down, but I'm giving you a standing ovation.
The dude crossing the street is like, "I think that guy's hitting on me. He gave me a salute."
Have you seen the unbroken eye contact?
He didn't break eye contact for a second.
He ran that red light well in it.
He was running the red light with unbroken contact as he saluted me.
As he was T-boned, he swear to God, he spun his head a full 180, never broke eye contact.
He then got out of the car, clicked his heels, and then continued to salute me. I must be the hottest person in the world. I think I found my future
husband. He was getting his insurance
husband.
Information to the other driver. He was staring at me the whole time.
I don't think I even need to date anymore. I have found my significant other. This man clearly has the etiquette needed to be a husband.
I pulled my cell phone out and deleted Tinder immediately. For my search was over.
Oh, fuck. Well, we got it wrong. Sorry, Joe. No tipping hats here.
Damn.
All right. Here we go. Let's jump to the last fact. Fact number 5. From the same article in 1902, chauffeur etiquette includes which of the following? Is it A, the driver and the owner are to sit side by side in the front so that in case of an accident, either one can grab the controls? B, the owner sits on the back driver on the back driver's side seat so that he can be seen more easily by admirers on both sides of the road. Or C, when the car is full, the chauffeur sits on the floorboards on the passenger side.
Well, he wouldn't be much of a chauffeur if he was on the floorboards.
I would assume not.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a ghost chauffeur. Right. That's the perception of wealth, getting ghosts to drive for you.
There's no way if you have money that you're taking the controls of this car.
I mean, Trump begs to differ.
Right. Let me fly the helicopter.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm the best pilot for the job.
Right. Black Hawk down. Under my president, not one went down. In fact, not they one. All went up. They all went up so high, they went up to space. They docked on the International Space Capsule.
Yep. Under my leadership, the car that they drove in Fast and Furious actually made it to space.
Right.
You're welcome, America.
That was me.
So, it's hard. I would say the owner sits back on the driver's side seat so that both sides can easily admire him. I mean, that seems pretty normal.
Right. I mean, that's the only normal one I know.
But, like, when the car is full, the chauffeur sits insane. On the floorboards on the passenger side. Like, yeah, he's just not driving the car. What does that mean?
Right, yeah. I mean, he's not a very good chauffeur.
And the drawing and the Iris seat side by side in the front, so in case of an accident, one could grab the controls. That doesn't make any sense either. Like, this guy's a professional driver, and some rich snob is going to grab the car.
Yeah. Also, in case of an accident, like, the accident's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you need the... What are you controlling?
He grabs the steering wheel and he's like, "Whoa! I almost saved the driver's life. He went through the windshield."
I mean, I gotta say, my chauffeur was making direct eye contact with the lady, and we went into a tailspin. So I just grabbed those controls.
Yeah, that's a real
like to step in the way of love.
Yeah, I had to take control of the vehicle. He was obviously saluting a hot chick that I could not see.
He stood erect in the front of the car.
He was demonstrating his impressive asparagus eating skills to me as he drove, so I had obviously taken control of the vehicle. He needs to hold his chin down, but not too far, so he can't see the
road. I was saying there's no way you could eat it like a pelican, but I'll be damned. He ate five whole stalks while careening over a canyon.
Sure, we hit four kids, but it was worth it.
It was after the third child that I said, well, I should probably take control. And then I hit a kid. And I said, well, yeah. I mean, you're the professional.
Yeah. Driver said this was fine and to be expected.
Yeah.
Well, within normal parameters of driving this machine.
He said crosswalks are merely suggestions.
Crosswalks are what the communists wanted.
I said, well, I'm glad I didn't hire me a pinko. Drive away.
So you want to just go B?
That's the only one that even makes sense to me. I was like, I don't know why a chauffeur would be sitting on the floorboards.
I have no idea. I don't even know if that's possible.
Right.
So let's go then. For fact number five, we're going to go B. So from the same article, 1902, chauffeur etiquette includes which of the following? We're going to go B. The owner sits on the back driver's side seat so he can be seen more easily by admirers on both sides of the road. 3, 2, 1. Bam. Oh, shit. It's A and C?
What?
So it's A, the driver and the owner sit side by side in the controls. So, yes, of course. So, you know, when he's saluting a lady, he can take it over. And it's also when the car is full, the chauffeur sits on the floorboards on the passenger side. The reason behind C is interesting. So, quote, though the practice may appear awkward, it's nonetheless logical since it is at once comfortable and, in case of any accident, leaves the chauffeur in a position to render immediate assistance. Don't feel bad for the chauffeurs, though. They were apparently making so much bank that rich people lost their fucking minds about it. 1906, the radical leftist New York Times published an I don't like sharing grievance piece of behalf of the mega wealthy, if you can believe that, concerning the skyrocketing costs of chauffeurs. It notes that breathless urgency that the chauffeur problem is today. Most of the chauffeur problem today is one of the most serious that automobilists have to deal with. Note, some experts are out of order because old newspaper transitions are non-existent. Okay, so some things are a little weird. No class of men are paid better for their services than chauffeurs. The demand is constant. The supply of good chauffeurs is small. Opportunities, therefore, have been afforded for many evils, and considering the fact that hundreds of chauffeurs have suddenly been raised to places of responsibility from very humble and inferior positions, of course, it is hardly surprising.
Like, you know you're in trouble when the first sentence starts with class of men.
Exactly. It is hardly surprising that so few have been able to accept their prosperity with becoming thankfulness and modesty. No. Suddenly, they hate capitalism. Quote, the ordinary chauffeur is attempting to impress upon the public that he should be regarded on par with skilled locomotive drivers. Yet, in hundreds of cases, he has literally fallen into his fat job, as automobile drivers, young men of no particular ability, have only been earning from $10 to $12 a week and are suddenly elevated to salary positions paying from $25 to $30 a week. End quote. Whoa. They spend considerable amount of time bitching that chauffeurs are taking advantage of high labor demand and collectively refusing to wash cars now as part of their duties. God damn, dude, they're bitching, okay? So here's more bitching. Quote, there is no reason in the world why chauffeurs should not wash the car. Chauffeurs are paid well, almost too well, in fact, and these big salaries quickly obtained have turned their heels and given them absurd notions of their own importance. The man who objects after being hired as a chauffeur to wash the car is either afflicted with laziness or a false sense of pride. Another quote, automobile owners have confided to me many of their troubles, and this question of washing the car is one of the most prominent. When an owner stores his car in a public garage, the price of storage includes washing and polishing the car. When a man keeps his car in his stable or in an improvised house, Perhaps on his country estate, the duties of the chauffeur are likely to be more pronounced. The average owner naturally believes the duty of the chauffeur is to take care of the car, and this means everything. So, Judge James B. Dill, who's one of New Jersey's most enthusiastic autoists, has never been afflicted with any of these unnecessary evils. His chauffeur washes and cleans his car, and without any loss of dignity in the eyes of his employer or the guest. So... The writer then says, eat the rich.
Right. It's like, yeah. These men are inflating the market of drivers and then charging exorbitant amounts to the other people.
You expect
That's our job.
Yes. You expect me, who I regularly put my life in the hands of, obviously, this lazy, no good, shitty human being, to pay him something good to keep me alive? Preposterous. He should do it because I've been divinely appointed to the position that I am in. Obviously.
Well, this is just clearly a case of exploitation.
They are exploiting me for the chauffeur jobs.
No, please. Drive me to the paper mill that I own.
You must wash my car, goddammit.
Goddammit. How am I supposed to get down to the chemical factories? Next thing you know, those people are going to want gloves.
They want masks and face shields? It's insane. Not on my dime.
It was merely a small outbreak of the Spanish flu.
Only 3 people died this month of having hot iron cast into their face.
Fine. They were all Irish.
God damn it. It is fine. It's not like we have any shortage of Irish people. Please.
Lord knows there's 11 more brothers and sisters where I came from.
Fucking A, dude. That's exactly what they're saying.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Like, there's no fucking doubt.
My name's James D. Rockefeller.
Yeah, exactly. God. Well, we got it wrong, dude. I'm sorry. But we do have an optional bonus this week.
Well, it's certainly a mandatory one this week.
There is no optional bonus this week.
There is no spoon.
I'm just kidding, Joe. Ha ha. The optional bonus is, you eat olives without the pit? Oh, we get a plus one bonus.
Well, this was a real Shyamalan twist.
What a surprise. Ha ha ha. We also got 5 out of 5 this week. What another surprise. Yes, Joe, at least you know to pay your chauffeurs a normal wage of below minimum. But
look, I gave him a Christmas ham.
I said Merry Christmas on December 24th.
I gave him half a day.
I gave him the morning off, obviously.
I made the butler wash the car that day.
Dude, washing cars must have sucked back then, too. It's not just hitting it with the hose.
Right.
You must take the bucket from the stream, walk it 4 miles back to the house, douse the car.
That's true. Like, how does this lazy person not want to wash the car? He only has to walk from the stable with a bucket to the garage.
Dude, I don't know. Yeah, pump it out of the well.
Right, yeah. It's
and then you douse the car. You get the animal fat that we use to polish it. Right. The fuck? Ah, shit. Well, we got 2 out of 5. We are uncultured swine.
Yeah, I have a it's disappointing, but it's not surprising.
I wouldn't have even. I'm not even cultured enough to be a chauffeur. Apparently, they're getting paid bank.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know how good olives can be.
we're such peasants, dude. Right. What is wrong with us? This should be an eye-opening experience for us, really.
I think. Well, that's the point of this podcast is. Truly educational.
It's a wake-up call to our lives. We need to stop being so poor and obviously be rich.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Easy.
I'm making a decision. I'm just going to be rich. Thanks.
Well,
thanks,
certainly
writer.
Beats hard work.
Shit, dude. Well, two out of three is not the worst we've ever, or two out of five isn't the worst we ever did. So,
hey,
I mean, kudos to
zero,
us. Fuck so. It. We looked at this through the lens of good human beings. I will take solace right, in that. Yeah.
Things that made sense.
Yes. You know, it wasn't in line with a fucking 1880, 1890 etiquette, but I take pride in the fact that it didn't, because they were pieces of shit back then.
Yeah.
Shit. All right, dude, you want to close this one out?
Oh, and there you have it. That was this week's Allegedly Podcast. I learned something. I hope you learned something. We're probably all better people because of this. And because you're such a good person, you know you're going to like, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And you're going to be here next week and every Monday. And until next time, pay your chauffeurs.
I was going to say, we'll see you next week. I can't do the whistle noise that he does.
Right, he has a little whistle in his wilts. Yeah. It just does a slide whistle.
I know. Whoa. Did you hear that? There's a whistle somewhere.
Oh.
Oh. He's always like surprised at it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I heard the wind through the willows.
As I was driving my Lincoln and saluting a hot chick, I had to, you know, sit on the floorboards for the, I was the chauffeur, you know.
I wondered if it was proper etiquette to take off my hat and make unbroken eye contact with an attractive lady.
I just saluted her as I drove by with unbroken eye contact. That
as
dead stare I did in True Detective.
Into a schoolyard. Lincoln MK Ultra's airbags protectively, gently protected my face.